reading this morning from Psalm 19. The whole chapter as it's written.
It seems long.
Heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Father, I thank you for the words that were read. I thank you for words that are true and words of life. Now, Father, that we have heard, let us do. Let us be. Give us strength and wisdom to live out the songs we sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you know God? How do you know him? How do you recognize his character? How do you know his nature? How do you know what his abilities are, or what his priorities look like? What evidence is there of the fact that God is in fact existing and that he has an interest in the people who populate this small planet? Well, so often we say we believe. We have faith. But that doesn't quite cut it. Because if you're going to have faith, you have to have some foundation. You have to have faith that has some information that's packed in there. To believe in something means that you believe something. And when it comes to God, where do we get the something that we believe in? Well, for David, it is simple. All he had to do was look up. For David, it was simple. In the night sky outside of Bethlehem, there were no lights. Have you ever been downtown Chicago? You ever look up at the night sky? What do you see? Nothing. The lights of the city blotted out. But go out to the end of the peninsula, out by the lighthouse, and look up on a clear night. And what do you see? You see stars. It's incredible. And David said, it's not just the stars. All you have to do is listen to the words of the Lord. It was the words as well. And Psalm 19, in these 14 verses, you have a song about the glory of God, about God's nature, who he is, and what he desires. And it's divided almost equally in half. Verse 1 to 6 talks about his creation. Verse 7 to 13 talks about his law. And verse 14 wraps it all together. In fact, the beginning of the words of Psalm 19 are, the heavens declare the glory of God. I have some pictures I want to tell you. It's images from the Hubble telescope. Let's see the first one. Isn't that amazing? Heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Let's see the next one. These are clusters of stars just being born. That's a nebula. That's out in the galaxy. Look at that. Can you see that and not declare that there is a God? The color, the vivacious nature of all of that. Look at that. And then look at this one. That's that first one we saw a little bit farther back. That's called the Eagle's Nest. Look at that. All these pictures are from the Hubble telescope, something that we can see. I want to hang out there when I'm in heaven. What do you think? Look at this one. Isn't that gorgeous? And look at all those stars. And look at that one. It's called the Cone. The Cone Nebula. Isn't that amazing? All those stars. By the way, there are literally thousands of images. Thank you, Bob. Thousands of images that you can find. Simply go to the Hubble telescope and it'll show you the gallery. And you can see all that God has done and God has created. How do you express that? How do you improve on David's words? The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hands, the wonders he has wrought. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour of the day and of the night, hill and vale, tree and flower, sun and moon, stars of light. Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our hymn of grateful praise. Well, we've tried, haven't we? We have tried to somehow express. And David in the night sky, when he is out there and he was being a shepherd, or maybe he was running from Saul, and on a clear night, which is very common in Israel, he would sit up and there would be no lights, and he would look up and all he could see was the majesty and the glory of God. He'd look up and he would see all of the things which somehow we have put names like Orion and Big Dipper and all of Gemini and all what we call the astrological signs. Wouldn't they be better to be shown as God's temperament, God's glory, God's fingerprint? This is what it looks like when God gets creative. And when we see the things where stars are born. They proclaim that there is a God. I like the way he says in verse number 2. Day after day, they pour forth speech. You know, the Hebrews put it this way. Day after day, it bubbles up. It bubbles up. It just keeps effervescent. I'm one who likes diet caffeine-free Coke. Have you ever had caffeine-free diet Coke? You know when I like caffeine diet Coke the least is when I have picked it up after accidentally kicking it downstairs. And when I open it up, it bubbles up. When I open that cap, it whoosh. That's the way what the Hebrews are talking about. All day long, it whoosh. It rises up. Night after night, they display their knowledge. One of my favorite things to do is to sit on the shore of Lake Michigan. You see, one of the reasons I like Lake Michigan is every day it has a different attitude, a different emotion, a different temperament. Sometimes it is It is angry. And sometimes it is glass. Sometimes it is inviting, and sometimes it is terrifying. But every day you sit out there and it's mesmerizing, and you see it and watch the light play off the waves and watch it. It's absolutely gorgeous to sit up on a dune, just to sit and to see the splendor of the water. Can you imagine being out there in the night sky when it comes down and touches the water? All night long they display their knowledge. They display their knowledge. And it's equally available to all. This is not a knowledge that is hidden. This is not a knowledge that is taken away. This is a knowledge that everyone gets to see. This is the display, the speech that everyone gets to hear. There is no language or speech in which their voice is not heard. Where's the night sky not seen? The only place I can think of is where we have blotted out. The only place I can think of is where it has never been. Most of us don't go to the desert. Anybody here a desert person? You like the desert? You like it being out there? How much can you see in the night sky in the desert? And when you see that night sky, do you know what comes to my mind? Who am I, God, that you even think of me? Who am I that you even pay attention to me? You are the God of expanse, of light years. You're the God that stands in the midst of everything. And yet, here am I, so small. And you hear my voice. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth, from everywhere, from New Zealand to England, from Russia to Chile, from India to Minnesota, from Canada to South Africa, from Antarctica to the Arctic, from Guam to the Channel Islands. There is no place on this earth that they cannot see the sky. The southern sky may be different than the northern sky, but do you think the southern sky has any less in its vocabulary about the glory and the wonders of God? Do you think it has any less in saying, look, this is what we see. This is, and when you look out there and you see the vast expanse, the multitude of stars, how many of you think, I wonder what physics, I wonder what mechanics, we don't think that. How many of you think, how could you not know that there is a God? His fingerprints are all over creation. Their voice goes out into all the earth, the word. The glory of God is not a secret. If you want to understand God, open your eyes and pay attention. Open your eyes and pay attention. One of the advantages of walking over driving is that you get a chance to see. Once upon a time, my car was not working so well when I was early in ministry, and I only lived a mile from church. And I thought maybe I would leave the good car for my wife, which is a rule I've always had. The wife gets the good car. It's more for self-preservation than anything else. And I started to walk. Now, I had driven back and forth to Whitehall Covenant. I can't tell you how many times I've driven back and forth. It's only a mile. And how many of you ever get in the car and just go on autopilot? You go back and forth so often. You know, in fact, I was going to go to the store, and I ended up at church because obviously I had no idea. My brain was disengaged, and my foot and hands were working. I went on autopilot straight to church. But when I walked, you cannot believe the things that I saw. The intricacies of spider webs, the glory of flowers, how weeds weren't just weeds, they were beautiful creations. How trees interacted with other plants. When I had a chance to simply stop and watch, when I could slow down and look, Well, then I understood. Creation began to be eloquent. It spoke. Repeatedly, it said, this is who God is. This is his character. This is his nature. He is a generous God. He is a brilliant God. He is a God who loves diversity, and he is a God who loves color. He is a God who is anxious to give his gifts. He is a God that loves to be among his people. Isn't it interesting that when we pay attention, we see God in action? And of all the things that we see, the one thing you and I see every day, and sometimes we lament up here, is because it's absent or covered up, it is the sun. The sun has always been the star of the day. The sun is always the star of the galactic show. We love the sun. In fact, many cultures worship the sun. But we know that the sun is simply a servant, a creation of God. In the heavens, he has pitched his tent for the sun, which is like the bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. Isn't it interesting? The bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. The bridegroom was the star. See, nowadays, the bride is the star of the show at a wedding. The groom, he's necessary, but we don't like to look at him. Nobody stands up when the groom comes down the aisle. He comes in from the side door. He just comes in from the side. But we all turn around and we wait and we stand for the bride. And we look at her dress and we go, ooh, and ah. And the father walks the bride down unless he stumbles. And then he gets up there and I say, who is it on this day that gives this woman to this man in holy matrimony? And he goes, his mother and I do. You know, they think they're so frightened to say those words. You see, the bridegroom, in the day of Jesus, in the day of David, she stayed in the tent. And the bridegroom came, and he had all of his friends around, and they were blowing on trumpets, and they would make noise, and they would parade through the streets, and everyone paid attention. They all would nudge one another and point and look, and they would comment, because the bridegroom was the centerpiece of everything. And like a bridegroom coming out of his pavilion is the sun rising in the east. And as he marches across the sky, giving all that he needs, rising like a champion running to race his course. It rises from one end of the heavens and makes a circuit to the other, and there is nothing hidden in its heat. Oh, would it be more? You know, Laura, you want more heat, don't you? Yeah, she likes the 90 degrees. And I've prayed that you can have 1 or 2 days this year. But no more. You know, you look at it, you're seeing it rise, it goes up, you see it, it comes down. And one of the great things about living on the western shore of Lake Michigan is that you and I can go out at night and we can watch the sunset into the lake. Is that not spectacular? Is that not gorgeous? We used to go down to the channel. We'd have barbecues and we'd watch it just, and it would go down, and it would go down, and it would go down, and all of a sudden it would be gone. When you watch that, do you not see that there is a God? When you see it, when you feel the radiant heat, knowing that if we were a little closer, we would die. If we were a little farther, we would die. But here, exactly perfect where God wants us, we are nurtured. In the heavens, God's declared. And then in verse number 7, it says, look, the book of nature now takes over from the book of Scripture. And to understand God, you have to read both. And when you understand, you worship. And it becomes miraculous. The law of the Lord is perfect. He uses words, the law, the statute, the precepts, the commands, the fear, and the ordinance of God. The law. How many of you really enjoyed reading Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers? How many of you thought, why is he having us do this? He's mean. They love the law. In fact, when the children would come in on the first day learning, they would have a tablet. And the rabbi would squeeze honey on the tablet. And then they would smear the honey all over the tablet. And then he told them to lick it all off. By the way, honey in that day was kind of like a Hershey bar. It was kind of like getting, what's another popular candy bar? Snickers. Yeah, it was like getting a Snickers. It was the sweetest thing they could ever have. It was beautiful. They loved eating it. They loved honey. It was a treat. And they said, look, the most precious, the most wonderful, the best thing you could ever have is the law. The law is perfect. It was an expression of God's love. It is perfect. There is no flaw. It revives our soul. The law of the Lord, the statutes are trustworthy. You can count on them. They're dependable. The testimony of the Lord is guaranteed. It's dependable. It doesn't change with the circumstances. It's non-negotiable. The words of the law are right. It makes the joy in our hearts. It's radiant. What does it say in Psalm? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the law, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not left in confusion. It's clarity. It's the best thing that God could do. It is pure. It endures forever. It is sure. It is dependable. And he said, look, when you know the law, you get God's personality. You get God's desires. You get God's understanding. See, one of the reasons I think Leviticus is an exciting book is because God says, you want a relationship with me? Let me tell you how this works. Let me tell you how, when sin occurs, here's how you make it right. Here's how you have a good relationship with your neighbor. Here's how you take care of your things. Here's how you don't let possessions become the thing that somehow overwhelms you. You own the things don't own you. Here's how you keep from getting polluted by culture. Here's how you live. Here's how you are successful. Here's how you have joy. And when you start a relationship with me, that's not the end of it. Here's how you maintain a relationship with me. Because God takes us seriously. He said, look, I want you in this relationship. I want you to be part of my world. I want you. And so he gives it to us. That's why he can say the law, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, the fears, and the ordinances. I challenge you at some point to read again Psalm 119. It has 176 verses, and it is a hymn. It is an entire show all oriented to the law of God. For 22 verses, 8 verses per section, 22 sections, it talks about the law. And with very few exceptions, you hear words like statutes, commands, the law, the precepts, the commands, the ordinances. And how about this one, verse number 9, the fear. The fear. Guys, do you remember the first time you picked up your date? And you went in there, and there was Dad. Just sitting there. He wasn't cleaning his guns. He was sitting there. And he looked at you. And you are the one that's going to take out you, you filthy animal. You're going to take out his precious child. And he just looks at you. And he says, what are you going to do tonight? And you sit there. And what emotion do you have? Not arrogance, fear, respect, honor. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking terror. We're talking of someone whom you respect, someone that you look at and you say, okay, this is not a game anymore. The fear of the Lord is pure. More precious than gold, more precious than pure gold. Sweeter than honey from comb. Isn't that amazing? That's what you get. What value do we place on the Word of God? Is it at the highest point? Is it at the highest place? Because we are warned. We are kept. I like verse number 11. In keeping the law of God, there is great reward. Do you remember what Jesus said? What can you give in exchange for your soul? There's nothing. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart as a first priority, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart. And then it says in verse 12, who can discern your errors or keep your hidden faults? Who can keep your servant from willful sins that they may not rule over me? And then I will be blameless and innocent of the great transgressions. Oh, Lord God, how can I keep my feet straight? How can I keep from doing something really stupid? Pay attention. Listen to the law. Because God is saying, you are mine and I want you and I want to take care of you. Just pay attention. How many of you gave instructions to your children only to have them be ignored? All the time. Why do you tell your children what to do? Because you love them. God does the very same thing. And at the end of this song, at the end of this hymn, David stands up and he said, Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. May my life line up with what you want. Because you, Yahweh, are my rock and you are my redeemer. You are the one that keeps me safe and you are the one who rescues me. Most of us think of redeemer in terms of Jesus. David would have thought of it in a term called Goel, G-O-E-L, Goel. That is somebody who comes and rescues you, ransoms you, somebody who gets you out of trouble, who will do whatever it takes to bring you home. Goel. You have to love somebody to be their Goel. You have to care for someone. It's a headache being a redeemer. It's a lot of responsibility. You know, one of the things I've discovered about being a dad is that your kids have a wide imagination on how to get into trouble. And where you have to go get them from sometimes isn't the easiest places to go. You have to go rescue them. You have to go L. I remember one night I was working. I was having coffee with the young adults. We were having ice cream over at the ice cream parlor. And I was suddenly called upon to be the Goel. My wife and my three kids were out and they were driving on the tri-state when all of a sudden, lo and behold, they had a flat tire. I had to go get them. More than that, I had to send them home in my car, and I got to, at night, change a tire on the side of the road on the tri-state with cars and trucks and everyone whizzing on beside me. You know, at that point, I wasn't thinking, you know, I'm really glad they can depend on me. I wasn't thinking, I'm so glad I was here when they needed me. But when I finally got the car back down off the jack, when I had everything put away and I was able to pull out into traffic, turn around, and come on the way home, I was grateful. No one was hurt. Car wasn't damaged. And they knew who to call. Do we know who to call? Do we know whose words to cling to? Do we know who to cry out to? If you don't, I have two suggestions. Number one, look up. And number two, just listen. And at the end of all of it, say this: may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For Yahweh, you are my rock and my redeemer. And all God's children said, amen.